the Matt Bubala Show here on Radio 720 WGN. Well, it's a sad reality. Between Paris recently and San Bernardino earlier this week, people need to know what to do in a situation if something were to happen. And while the likelihood is it's never going to happen to you, and I'm sure we could throw out stats that you're much more likely to get hit by lightning or all sorts of other things rather than be involved in some sort of mass shooting or terrorist attack, when we see about it in the news almost every single day, we start to worry about these things. Whether it's Sandy Hook in schools or San Bernardino in businesses or in Paris just at a concert venue and elsewhere. People, I think, are worried about how worried should I be about this and what kind of steps would I take to protect myself in such a situation. I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning and talk about how you keep yourself safe. And I'm not talking about grab a gun and be ready to shoot. I don't think that's personally a great idea. I know there's people that do, but I'm thinking more, what do we do if we're caught in a situation like this? Do you roll over and play dead? Do you run? How much do you think about these things? Joining us on the phone right now is Todd Morris. He's the founder and CEO of Brick House Security. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, but it is the type of thing I found myself thinking about this week. Honestly, Todd, not since 9/11 have I thought this much about security in a weird way. After 9/11, every plane I saw in Chicago for the next week I thought was going to crash into a building. And then eventually that faded away and life got a little bit more back to normal. And I think we're in one of those situations again where we're hearing so much right now about mass shooting / terrorist attacks that we start worrying about things like that and what would we do. And as I'm scrolling through Facebook today in my news feed, I see an ad or a story about these bulletproof blankets for kids to get for school. And they show a picture of kids in a hallway laying down like we used to kneel down in our tornado drills. But they had these looks like sort of orangey Kevlar blankets over them. And I don't know how much of that is too crazy and how much of it is just rational thinking because this is the world we're living in now.
Yeah, for those of us in the security industry, unfortunately, we think about it all too often. It's these things happen, you know, at a rate of almost once a day somewhere in the country. So, sadly, your chances of being involved in one or being in the periphery of one or the location of where one of these events happen is actually greater than being struck by lightning. Although it is not, you know, you're still certainly far more likely to be in a car accident.
Yeah. I would imagine so, but I mean, there's, you know, what, 100 million cars on the road every day, so the odds on that are, we're going to have to get pretty bad here before those odds change, I imagine. But it's in the news, and it gets a lot of attention when it happens, so we certainly think about it. So let's go to the basics on what you do in those situations. So let's go to Paris and the theater, where these people marched in and started shooting people, and it's a loud music venue. It's hard to understand what's going on at first, as we saw from some of the film, people, it took a second or two to realize what was going on. I've read conflicting stories about playing dead or running, different things that are getting out there now. If you're in a situation in a theater like that and something starts going awry, what should you be doing?
Well, I think the first thing is I don't want everyone to think they need to be paranoid about this all the time. But you also don't want to be in the situation where the first time you think about it is when shots are already being fired. And so just like when you move into a new home or you go to a new office, you think about where the fire exits. When you get onto an airplane, even though you've probably been on 100 747s, you always want to look where the exits are. I do think that, you know, people should be a little more conscious of their surroundings and aware of what they would do in case of a fire, a bomb, or an active shooter, and just know where they would go. How would you get out, and what route would you take, and if that route was blocked, what's your alternate route, and where would you gather with your family? And, you know, I actually do this with my kids, but it starts off as not something scary of, oh my gosh, there could be some maniac with a gun. It's, if we get separated for any reason, where will we meet? And I consciously pick a place to meet that would not be an unsafe location for them to be standing if there were some sort of an event. So I think it's a good practice for people to just be a little more situationally aware of, I'm going to a venue. Where are the exits? Yes, they're talking about fire exits, but they're also talking about exits and ways out. And so think about those exits. How would you get out? And talk to the people you're with. If there were a fire or any other event, or if someone just got lost, where would we meet up? And maybe we want to think about making that meetup location the parking lot across the street and not standing right out in front of the building.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense because, you know, October was Fire Prevention Month. We just kind of should have gone through this with our families. Of course, in our home, we should have had this conversation. What are the safest exits if there's a fire and where would we go? That's the big thing that I think we don't think about. And I've never done this with my kids. And all the times I've been to Soldier Field or Wrigley Field or any huge venue where somehow you could end up getting separated, especially if there was some sort of event, what would you do? Where would you go? And it makes sense. Like you said, just like when you're getting on the airplane, you still make sure where the exits are. What are the ones closest to you? You should take note of that, I would imagine, in any theater or sporting venue, and then talk to your kids, if you have kids with you, about what would we do if we got separated. And so what is the advice on that? You want it to be a safe place, but I imagine you don't want it to be the place. So at Wrigley Field, if I said, we'll meet under the marquee outside, well, there's going to be 30,000 people there. So you find a place that's safe and well-lit, yet maybe it's going to be easy to find each other? Or what are the rules on that?
You're actually not necessarily looking for a place where it's easy to find each other, because if you really do just get separated, finding each other you'll be able to do in any of these locations. What you're thinking about is where is going to be a safe location that is out of the line of fire, not just of an active shooter, but if there were an explosion, if there were a fire that caused an explosion, if a SWAT team showed up to try and disarm someone, friendly fire is just as deadly as enemy fire. And so you definitely want to think about that. And as you're coming in, usually when you look at any location, you know, there are landmarks you can find, whether it's a bus stop or a generator or an area where, you know, the cars and buses park or a carport. Look for something that will be easy to find over the heads of crowds. So if there is a crowd, your kids will be able to see it and you'll be able to see it. It's not something that's marked by a small cone in the middle of the parking lot, but rather a, you know, something tall that you can see and get behind. Definitely something to think about. And you also want to think about picking that location based on who you are and who you're with. And that goes to not just understanding the situation and the location you're in, but making an honest assessment of your personal limits and strengths. So, for example, if I'm going somewhere alone or with coworkers, I might pick a safety spot that is very different than the safety spot I would pick if I was with my 7- and 5-year-old. You know, you want to pick a spot that makes sense for you. And you also want to be thinking about how you would react in a situation like this based on your own personal situation, not just who you're with, but your own personal capabilities. Some people might know that they are susceptible to panic attacks and they are not the best under pressure. And that's something to know. And just think about it ahead of time. It's always easier to deal with a situation, no matter how scary it is, if you visualize it first. Just like athletes visualize the way they'll swing the bat or catch the ball or make the play, you should visualize and think about, if I were in that situation, what would I do? And honestly, how do you think you would act? Because none of us are really Rambo. So expecting yourself to go out and do backflips off the back of a window and get to someplace safe is probably not appropriate. But some people might feel more confident being the one that is going to run and climb and get somewhere safe. Someone else might want to say, you know what, I'm the one who's going to just hide underneath a table very quietly and just tell everyone else to leave them behind and go.
Well, let's get back
Sometimes
to that.
That's appropriate.
Let's get back to that in a minute. Todd Morris is with us. He is the CEO and founder of Brick House Security. You can find out more information at brickhousesecurity.com. So hide under a table or run like hell, that becomes the question when bullets start flying. We'll get to that next here on 720 WGN. Pat Buballa here with you on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Todd Morris of Brickhouse Security, brickhousesecurity.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Brickhouse Secure. Drop the E on secure, S-E-C-U-R, at Brickhouse Secure with no E on the end on Twitter. So, Todd, when we were going to the break, we were talking about, well, let me jump back to the, just for a second, let me jump back to when we set up the plan to leave. You were saying how you tailor it to who you're with. So while we said, you know, not necessarily a place where nobody can find you, got to think about getting out of the way of fire, getting out of the way of the line of fire, whatever it is. I imagine if you're with a 7-year-old versus you're with a 30-year-old, with a 30-year-old, you guys might say, hey, we'll meet 3 blocks away at this bar or at this restaurant or whatever. Just set up a place. You're all adults. You can get there. With young kids, you have to think more about how are they going to be feeling in this emergency situation, and is it going to be easy for them to find that place, right?
Right, and also how far can you run and how fast can you run if you're carrying one or both of those children?
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned, you know, the people you're with and deciding what to do, and somebody might say, you know what, I'm just hiding under this table, go, I'm staying here. So what is the general advice when something happens, when shots start, you know, we know if there's a fire, you got to get out, you can't stay there and wait that out. But if somebody's shooting, there's a little bit of a debate over play dead or hide or just run like hell. Is there a general advice on that?
When we were growing up, we all learned stop, drop, and roll. If you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. There is a similar mantra for active shooters, and that is run, hide, fight. The difference is you don't always do it in that order, and you don't always do all three. The first thing you want to do is exit the area as fast as possible, if possible, run. Always try to run first. There are exceptions to that. If you know that you either for physical reasons or mental reasons or the people you're with will not be able to run, then don't run. Hide. If you can only run so far and then you need to hide, hide. If you can run far enough to get the heck out of there, don't bother hiding. Keep running until you're blocks away. But definitely the first reaction is get yourself into a safe location, preferably one that's as far away as possible. But if for some reason you can't get far away, then make sure you get yourself into the safest position you can as quickly as you can. There are definitely difficult decisions to be made. If you are with a large group of people and some of them are not capable of running, the last thing you want to do is be in a large group of people. So following the crowd or trying to help slow people get out is not going to help either of you. The larger the crowd is, the larger the target is. Mm-hmm. Most of these shooters are not very effectively trained. They're not combat trained. They're taking advantage of slow moving targets in large groups. So don't be slow moving and don't be in a group. If that means leaving people behind, they are better off on their own under a desk than they are being slowly pulled or carried by you. You're just a bigger, slower target.
If you are left behind or you stay behind and there are victims near you, should you, I mean, and you can't find a place to hide, should you ever lay down and just try to pretend to be dead?
The only time you would ever want to lay down and pretend to be dead is if, quite honestly, the shooter has already passed by that area and there are authentically dead people near you. And that's obviously a very difficult emotional situation, but, you know, no shooter is going to walk into a room they haven't been in, see someone lying down, and think they're dead. They will just shoot you.
It's crazy that we're having these conversations and that this is a reality we're talking about. So I saw this ad today for some sort of security blanket for kids who are in a shooter situation in schools. Do you ever see a scenario where schools should actually order these things or ever have kids laying down with a bulletproof blanket over them?
So there are a lot of schools looking into what they can do to make themselves harder targets and harden the security for the kids. I don't think that a blanket is necessarily a good solution. However, a Kevlar blanket or drape that is covering a locked door, that would certainly help alleviate the fact that most of these doors have glass in them. So, you know, having hanging hooks above a door that a teacher can hang a Kevlar sheet over to cover a door that's locked but has a glass window in it, that's not a bad idea. And there are certainly schools that are doing those types of things to outfit their classrooms so that they can be turned into a more secure bunker.
You're talking about hanging that sheet on the other side of the door where the everybody's hiding? Because wouldn't if the gunman's...
On the inside of the door. What you'd want to do is lock the door where you're on the inside.
Okay.
But even though the door is locked and you and the children are on the inside, there's a glass window in some of these doors. And even though that glass may be bulletproof glass only lasts so long with high enough caliber, close fire. So, you know, if you've got something to cover that window with from the inside on your side, that would certainly protect you and the kids from breaking glass or bullets that make it through the glass
and the
bullets that make it through the door.
Yeah, and the hope is that these gunmen then just keep moving on because that's a, you know, they don't have time to break the door, get in there. They'll just keep moving to easier targets. At least that's your hope in that instance, right? Because if the guy wants to sit there and just shoot at the door several times, he could then probably kick it in most likely, right?
Right. Your hope is first, get out. If you can't get out, make yourself inaccessible, either because you can't be found or because it would take too long and too much effort. One of the most difficult things about these situations is it takes several minutes. It could take 2 to 12 minutes for the police to arrive, and they know that, and they want to do the most damage they can in the first 5 minutes because they may not have more than that. So they will probably not waste 5 minutes trying to get through one door.
So when we talk about workplace then, is it the same thing? Wherever you go to work, maybe you should think about, because it could be anything. I mean, this has happened before, where just somebody gets fired and they get mad and they come back. And maybe they're mad at one person, but you never know what they're going to do. So at work, should I know where all the exits are? Should I know what I would do if I heard gunshots, if my desk is secure, if I'd be hidden, if there's an easy exit out of back or different things like that?
Absolutely. And at work, I would say not only should you know your way out and you should know what things you can do to, you know, get out quickly and how you can get out. But you can also think about making alterations to harden your structure and make it more difficult for someone. If you've got multiple doors, are those doors reinforced? Are there ways that you can lock off certain areas? And this can be done as part of other policy changes. So, for example, you know, many medical facilities and retail stores are going through processes in their IT and security upgrades to make sure they are either HIPAA or credit card fraud authorization protected, so that they're protecting people's data. Well, part of that same upgrade process, if you're going to put in multiple doors to seal off areas where certain people aren't allowed to go because they're sensitive, either credit card or medical information, you can take that opportunity to also make those doors stronger, more reinforced, potentially bulletproof.
I would imagine that, you know, so many businesses, schools, have just completely glass doors where there's just a wire or a you know, metal framing around, which could easily be shot through. Like you said, even if they're bulletproof, eventually you could shoot right through them. Now, that's harder on a shooter because, like you said, they don't have that much time. They know that. And if they announce they're getting in by shooting their way in, then everybody at least is on alert. But I imagine we could also do things with those doors. Would you advise places not to put in those straight one sheet of glass doors, put in something where the handles could be a little better protected from being shot through from somebody shooting through the glass and then just walking right in, things like that?
There are some doors that, even though they're glass, they can certainly be reinforced. There are films you can get that, you know, much like when you tint a car, you can put this film on the glass and that will retrofit it to make it shatterproof and bulletproof to small arms fire, not large arms fire. But yes, if you're doing original construction, I don't think anyone's building new doors onto schools now that are all glass, but there are certainly a lot of old schools. And as we know, budgets in schools are not unlimited, so they're not replacing perfectly good doors as quickly as they might want to.
Todd Morris is the CEO and founder of Brick House Security. You can find out more information at brickhousesecurity.com. Todd, I hope I don't have another reason to talk to you anytime soon, but I feel good knowing you're out there, and I'm sure we'll have reason to talk to you again.
It was good talking to you. I hope we don't have to talk about this one again.
You're listening to Matt Bubala on Radio 720 WGN.